Proverbs chapter 25, this is the theme verse for the series that we're doing, and we'll be reading this regularly in the series. But Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. This is a very important truth for us to grasp, because God's telling us here that if we don't control our spirit, we're going to like a city that has no defense, no protection. And that's very critical to us to understand that. Now, our Christian lives will be weak and unfruitful if we have no defense. And God has given each of us a spirit and a soul and a body to live in. And God then communes, the Holy Spirit of God. This is something actually I've been digging through, and I learned some things this week that I thought was pretty neat. Let me just draw something on the board here that might be of help to us. All right. So first of all, put that rag. Doesn't erase too well without water, but it's all right. Okay. So first of all, we've got the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit communes with our spirit. And our spirit communes with our soul. And our soul governs our body. All right? So you see the spirit deals with here, and then this goes here and over here. All right, now, with that in mind, I think it'll help us to understand. When the Spirit of God speaks to our heart, you know, and it's not just the Spirit of God that speaks to our spirit, but also our flesh and the devil speaks to our spirit. And so there's a tug of war. Who are we going to listen to? And if we listen to the devil or our own flesh, we will yield to the wrong thing, and then it'll, as we govern our soul, which is our mind and our will and our emotions, it'll govern our soul, and our soul will govern our body, and that's when we end up doing wrong. And so this, as I dug into that, I thought it really helped me to understand the layout of that, and maybe that'll help you as well, but that's not the focus of what I'm going to be looking at here tonight, but hopefully that'll be a help to us. But we need to choose in our spirit to yield to the Holy Spirit so that we can make the right choice and it'll lead us in the right direction. Now, when we make the wrong choices in life, it leads us the wrong way, and this covers so many areas. When he says we need to rule our spirit then governs everything that we do. And so we need to rule this in order to be able to govern how we respond. And last week we talked about ruling our attitudes. Tonight we're going to be looking at ruling our desires. Our desires. And as we think about this, it's very important that we learn to rule our desires. Now, we need to first of all identify what I'm talking about. What's the problem? What are our desires? And we think about that. You know, not all desires are bad. We've got all kinds of desires. There's a lot of desires that are good. You had a desire to come to church tonight. That was a good thing. And that's a good desire. We have a desire to eat when we're hungry, and that's good. Sometimes we desire to eat more than we should when we're hungry, but eating, a desire to eat is, if you didn't have a desire to eat and you forgot to eat for a long enough time, it would be bad news. You know, but God's given us that desire. Then we also would have a desire to sleep. Some of us don't like to go to sleep at night, and you don't like to get up in the morning, but you know how that is. But we need that sleep, and God's put within us a natural desire to want to sleep and need to sleep. And so that is a good desire. There's good desires for love and for friendship and for fellowship and for exercise. And the list goes on and on. There's lots of kinds of good desires. And we ought to have a good desire to commune with God. That's a very good desire. The psalmist said in Psalm 42:1, he says, as a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And that ought to be our heartbeat. I pray, God, please help me to have that kind of a heartbeat. As a hart, a wild deer would pant after the water brooks. They're thirsty. They've been running. They're panting. The foam's coming out of their mouth, and they're longing for a drink of water. And as they're longing for that water, he said, that is the way that David said his heart was toward God. And that is absolutely a good desire to have. However, there's also evil desires we have, and unfortunately we have an abundance of them. Desires for things that we should not want. And those evil desires, God often calls our lusts. And the word lust in and of itself doesn't mean something bad, but in the context of the scripture, many times it is something bad. And there's all kinds of sinful lust. When we think about lust, lust is a desire for something that God forbids. A desire for something God forbids. It doesn't matter what it is, but if God forbids it, we should not desire that. And yet many times our flesh does desire those things, and therefore we are lusting for something that is wrong. Just to give you a few examples, get our thoughts going in the right direction. You know, our lust, we have lustful desires that may be selfish. Selfish lustful desires. Wanting to please me. You know, that is a real problem. We got more a little. All right? You have to start with those little tiny children and teach them to be not selfish. Because we're all born selfish. Every little child, you put two little kids playing together, and before long they're going to be fighting over what they're playing for because they want what the other one's got. I want that. And they're selfish. And we have that selfishness in us. And God, that's one of the responsibilities God has given parents, is to discipline that selfishness out of their children. Now, that doesn't always, you know, it isn't always 100% successful because we still have selfishness as adults. But, and that is a big challenge. Sadly, we live in a culture that many parents don't even try. And so we live amongst a lot of people that are just ultimately selfish. And it ruins their lives and it's ruining society. But selfishness is a lustful desire. Then there's many sensual desires. You know, sexually gratifying desires. Lusts for things that we should not have. You know, even married people desiring another spouse that is different than theirs because theirs a nice one and mine's a loser. And, you know, those kind of feelings. And, you know, that is wrong. Those kind of thoughts are wrong. And God wants us to be satisfied with what we have. And so there's a problem there, but the sensuality in our society, a real problem with that. Then we see also there's a lustful desire for greed. A greedy desire is a lustful desire. It's a desire for more than God has given to us. You know, God has given to each of us certain things. And many times we want more than what God has given to us. I don't like what I got. I want more. I want something better. And our whole society promotes greed. Advertisements are constantly promoting greed. You want something better than what you've got. And the one you've got is a year old. That's no good. You need something new and faster and bigger and better. And there's greed there involved. And God says, no, we need to learn to be satisfied. There's also a desire for gluttonous things. Many times we want more than we ought to eat. And I remember years ago when we first visited Australia back in 1991. We visited Australia. And one of the things that stood out to me in 1991 about Australia compared to America where I'd been is that I saw very, very few overweight people. I thought, wow, in America they're all... And over here I thought, you know, there wasn't hardly anybody that was... But that's not the case anymore. Things have changed. Australia's adopted the same principles that America had, and now we live in an obese society. Why? Because of gluttonous, a desire for more food than we ought to eat. We also may have a desire for harmful substances, alcohol and cigarettes and drugs. There's a desire for peer acceptance. This is a real big one among young people. They want to be liked. And I mean, we all have that desire inside of us. We want to be liked. We want other people to like us. But that can get us in a lot of big trouble when we have those desires. I want to be liked. And then when we do that, it puts us in a position where if I'm going to be liked and my friends are going to like me, then I'm going to have to do what they do, even if I don't think that's really the best thing to do. And we end up doing things or acting ways or dressing ways or saying things or acting ways that we ought not because we want to be accepted. And so there's a desire for peer acceptance. There's also a desire for excessive pleasure. We live in a pleasure-oriented world. You know, everywhere you go, everybody's got their earbuds in. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with an earbud and listening to music, but I mean, everywhere you go, and they all have their phones. And, you know, I mean, you know, 20 years ago, nobody even had a phone. Now everybody's got a phone, even the little kids. You know, they all have their phone. They got to be playing on their phone. All this. We're obsessed with these kind of things. And sometimes it can get carried away. And with games, the video games and the things of that nature, just having fun and enjoyment. There's an obsession with that, and it can become a problem. And I'm not saying all of it is, but it can become that. Even success can be a lustful desire. I just want to succeed. No matter how I got to succeed, I just got to push harder and work harder and climb harder and step on a few people, but I've got to succeed. And there's a real problem with that in our world today. And so there's all sorts of lustful desires that we need to be aware of. And these lustful desires can be very controlling. They can dominate our lives. And we find that that is a great problem. As you look at some of these statistics of things in our world, sensual desires, porn is becoming a skyrocketing problem. And with the internet promoting it, it has become an addiction for many. 65% young adult men and 18% of young women look at porn at least once a week. 35% of all internet downloads are pornographic. That's unreal. That's a problem. The popularity of Lotto highlights the lustful desires from greed. And obesity, as we've already mentioned, is a problem. And these other things, it's becoming a great problem in our society. And even, peer pressure, another aspect of peer pressure, one of the symptoms of, maybe I should say, of peer pressure is that the way that people dress and the idea of they got to have tattoos. You think, well, why would somebody want a tattoo? Because everybody else is doing it, and I don't want to be different. It's not because they look nice or they think there's going to be a good idea. The language that people use. Why do people use the filthy language they do? Sometimes you think, can't you talk normal English? All you can say is all those filthy words. Don't you know any good words? Why do they do that? Because that's cool amongst their peers. They want to be accepted. And the hairstyles and addictions and immorality and even abortions, all part of peer pressure. I want to be liked. I want everybody to think I'm okay. We got to do it the way everybody's doing it. The lust for pleasure seems to be excessive in our world today. According to one report, this is an Australian government report. The Australian government said that 98% of Australian homes with children under 18 have a device for playing interactive games. 68% of Australians play interactive games, and of the game-playing population, 78% were aged 18 and older. 71% of those were working age of 18 to 64. 23% were of age 50 and over, and 7% were age 65 and older. The average age was 33, and 47% were female. One man told me, a young man told me just recently that he had played his favorite internet game over 6,000 hours in the last 2 or 3 years. Now there's a problem. There's an addiction. This is not normal. God has created us to work. God has not created us to sit and play games and things of that nature. Now, playing games can be fun. But when it becomes an addiction, when it becomes a lust, then it's not right. And so we need to guard these things. So there's all sorts of areas where our lustful desires can get out of hand. And what are we to do about that? Well, we're going to see in a few moments. Fulfilling lustful desires does not satisfy. That's the problem. It doesn't satisfy. That's why they keep playing games. I can do it faster next time. I just know I can. I'll do it again. I'll do it faster next time. I'll try again. And it's addictive. And it doesn't satisfy. When we get more, we want more. That's the way it always is. If I get more, I want a little bit more. Just a little bit more next time. Or a little bit bigger when. And we always want something we don't have. And Solomon spoke of this in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. He says, "The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, 'Give, give.' There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four say not, 'It is enough.' The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and a fire that saith, 'It is enough.'" Four things. He said, will never say it's enough. A fire, you look at a fire, and a fire, the more you put on it, the bigger it gets, and the more it wants, and the more you put on it, the hotter it gets, and the bigger it gets. It doesn't say, oh, that's enough, I'm going to cool down now. It doesn't work. The dry ground, it just gets parched, and you pour water on it, and it just sucks it up because it wants more. And so he's using these as illustrations to show us that desire does not satisfy. Lustful desires also produce guilt and shame. People get involved in things that they know they shouldn't be involved in, and it brings shame to their life, shame to their character. Sometimes it ruins their whole lives because they have been addicted to these things. So it causes great troubles. We need to study some of the principles and precepts that God gives us in the Scriptures. You know, examples of lustful desires abound in the Bible. Look at people that were driven by lust and it ruined their lives. Israel, back when they were wandering in the wilderness, what did they say? We want something different to eat. We don't like this manna, 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 manna all the time. We want something different. And God gave them stuff different, but it ruined them and it cost them a lot of their lives. They were not satisfied. Achan lusted after the garments and silver that were in Jericho. He lost his life because of it. Samson and David and Solomon lusted for women. Gehazi lusted for silver and ended up with leprosy. The Pharisees lusted for the praise of men. James and John, the disciples of Jesus, they desired special place of position in Jesus' kingdom. We all have a tendency to desire things we shouldn't have. If you download my notes off the web, I've included a number of verses that highlight the same topic here. I won't go into reading all of them, but there's a number of them there. You can have a look at those at your own time. But God's precepts show us His mind. As you look at the Scriptures and you see the precepts from God, it shows us God's mind. What is God thinking about things? For example, Romans chapter 13, verse 14, He says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." You know, we must stay close to the Lord and not make any provision or forethought or supply to make it easy to fulfill our lust. And that's easy to see in an area of maybe an alcoholic, but it really fits to all of our lusts. You know, you think of an alcoholic and he's got to stay away from alcohol. And I just read this afternoon an example of a man who was trying to overcome alcohol addiction. And he rented a house right next door to a tavern. Well, that's not a very good place to be renting a house. I mean, that house might have been a fine house, but it ruined him because he couldn't stay away from the tavern. And so God says, don't make provision. Don't do anything that'll make it easy. And whatever our desire may be, whatever our problem may be, we need to put up some limits and boundaries and stop things so that we don't get involved in that. That's why I've urged you many times to load on internet filters to protect yourself. And you might say, well, I'm not going to look at the bad stuff, but you don't even have to see as much of the garbage that comes up. There's still enough garbage that sneaks in on the side that is not fit to look at, but the real bad stuff won't come up anymore because you've got a filter on there. But that's for our good. We need that to help ourselves, to protect us. But if we don't make those provisions, we will have much greater victory. We read also in 2 Timothy 2:22, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord of a pure heart." He tells us two things here. First of all, he says that we are to flee the youthful lust, the lustful desires, the things that are leading us astray, the things that are pulling us astray. He said, run from them. Run from them. But then he said, in addition, that we need to follow the good things. Follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We need to flee them as if they were a great danger. You know, there's certain things that all of us would run from if we saw the danger. You know, if you knew that there was a fire in a location near a petrol tank, if you're smart, you'd run. Because if that catches onto that petrol tank, it's going to explode and you will be in danger. If I'm walking along and I see a snake, I don't like snakes. Even if they might be nice ones. I don't know the nice ones from the bad ones, so I don't like any of them. Alright? And I run. I stay away from them. You know, and that's the way we need to be with a lustful thing, something that's going to lead us astray. If there's an area where you know that maybe it's food, or maybe it's some vice, or some problem, or even something like we talked about gaming, whatever the case may be, if it's something that you cannot control, then stay away from it. Flee it for your own sake. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. He said we need to deny it. The word deny there means to say no to it. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going that way. No, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to stay away from that. And somebody might say, well, it won't hurt you any. Well, maybe not, but I'm going to stay away from it anyway because I don't trust it. And we need to just put up our guards and our barriers there and not listen to the peers and not listen to our media and not listen to the devil that is leading us into those things that will cause us grief. One last example of a precept from God is in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, where he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. He said, do not fashion yourself. Do not form yourself or mold yourself after the way that you used to be. Don't be like you used to be. You know, before a person comes to Christ, it's normal for them to follow the lustful pleasures of the world and to do the things that are wicked because they don't know any different. And they don't have any Spirit of God in there to help them. And so they naturally do that. But he says, once we know Christ our Savior, we should not yield to that. And we should not allow that in our lives. He said, do not fashion yourself according to those former lusts. Run from those past desires. So, we saw the problem. We've looked at some of God's principles and precepts. But you know, when we see this, the next thing we need to do if we're going to get victory is we need to admit our guilt. You know, if there's an issue where we are struggling, to deny it, we will never get victory. The drunk that says, I'm not a drunk, I just drink a little. He'll never get victory. Never. Not until he says, I've got a problem, I'm a drunk. And the same thing is true in every one of our lives, whatever the case may be, whatever the addiction may be, whatever the lustful desire may be, you may not even be into the place of an addiction yet, but it's something you know that you are prone to do, and you know you shouldn't do it, but you often find yourself doing it. We've got to admit our guilt. We must admit that our sinful desire offends God. You know, when we desire more than God has given us, we are denying that God is all we need. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3. Hebrews 13, 3 says, Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13, 5. What is God saying in that? He says, don't covet. Don't want more than what you have. Be content with me. I'm all you need. You don't need any more than me. I'm giving you everything you need. And that's something we need to learn. And that is something hard for us to learn. To just be satisfied with what God gives us. And our lustful desires sometimes tempt God in his patience. The psalmist said in Psalm 106, verse 14, he says, speaking of Israel, he said that they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. They lusted and tempted God. They were pushing God to the limit, saying, you know, God will be patient with us. God will be, and they just wanted more and more. And God said, you're just wearing me down. Finally, God said, that's enough. I've had it. And he sent plagues into them. And sometimes he sent snakes into them. Other times he sent things to enemies to kill them. And there are all kinds of problems. Why? Because they wouldn't stop lusting for things that God hadn't given them. Many of our lustful desires are a direct disobedience to God's word or his holy character. We desire something we know deep down inside that this does not please God. It goes against his character. It goes against his word. You know, sometimes we'll find a clear place in the word where it says, do not do this. And we want to do it anyway. Other times we find a principle there where we say, well, it's pretty obvious from this that God doesn't like that. He didn't clearly say that, but he killed the guy that did it. So I guess that maybe he doesn't like that. All right? All right. So there's a principle there, and we need to learn from those things, and it'll help us, but so many times we struggle. We will never get victory until we admit our guilt. Never. Never. And when we're guilty of a lustful desire, we must admit it without excuse. So many times, it's a part of our nature. So, well, yeah, I did that. But if you hadn't done that, I wouldn't have done it. Or if you hadn't have said that, I wouldn't have said what I did. Or if this wouldn't have happened, I would have avoided that. We make excuses instead of just saying, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. That was wrong. I was wrong. That's what we got to do. And it's hard. It's hard on our pride. But we need to be specific. We need to call it by name and say, God, I have a problem. I've been doing some research to try to help some people that are struggling with habits and things of that nature. And there's a really good website. It's called RU Ministries or something of that nature. But it's Reformers Unanimous. It was created by a guy named Steve something. He was a Baptist in America. He had he'd gotten saved and as a young boy, and then he fell away from the Lord and got into all kinds of drugs and was on cocaine and all kinds of terrible things. And he finally got right with God. God cleaned up his life, and he began this ministry to try to help other people that are addicts and things of that nature. And it's a great ministry. It's still going strong. He passed away with a heart attack. You listen to some of his videos, and it's no wonder he passed away with a heart attack. Man, he was one of these guys who was just so excited you couldn't hardly hold him down. But he had a passion. But the thing that I've been learning from that is he made this statement in one of his principles that he lays down. He said this. He said, if God is against it, so am I. If God's against it, so am I. And that is something that we need to be able to say, whatever the situation may be, if God's against it, so am I. Think about that. If God's against it, so am I. So if you find something in the scripture where God says this is wrong, then God's against it, and I must be against it as well. And if we'll take that stand, it settles all the issues. It doesn't matter what my friends think. It doesn't matter what my relatives think. It doesn't matter what somebody else thinks. It doesn't matter what I even think. If God's against it, I've got to be against it. And that settles the problem. And we really need to get that cemented into our hearts in order for us to rule our spirit. We need to agree with God that we must quit the lustful desire that he is displeased with. If God is against it and you rely on him, he will help you to be against it too. That's what we need. We've got to rely upon him. Confess it to him as sin. And then we need to fill our heart with meditations on the scriptures. We need to let the scriptures fill our soul. Remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 19:14? He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The meditation of my heart. We need to think about things that are good. Think about things that are wholesome. Think about things that are pleasing to God. It doesn't matter what the problem is. If it's a food addiction or a porn addiction or an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction or a cigarette addiction or whatever it may be, we need to say, if God's against it, I'm against it. And we need to fill our heart with the scriptures. Meditate on scriptures that deal with those kind of problems. And let it go over in your mind. One of the things that I picked up from this Brother Steve on the RU program is he brought it to my attention. It was something I should have thought of, but it never really dawned on me. And that is that we memorize things in our mind, but we meditate on them in our heart. And it's not enough to have scriptures memorized in our mind. We've got to bring them down to our heart and meditate on them, or they're not going to do us much good. We can memorize those verses, you know, 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. And we'll say that again and again, flee also youthful lust. I got that down. Yeah, I got it down. And then youthful lust comes along and we don't flee it. Why? Because it hasn't been down in our heart. We're not really pondering it. We're not really thinking about it. It doesn't really mean anything to us deep down in our heart. But once it's down in our heart and we're pondering it and thinking about it and saying, I got to do this. It's got to be the way it is. I'm going to have victory. God's going to give me victory. God promised victory. And he said I was to flee youthful lust. And we ponder it and we think about it and we meditate on it and we chew on it and let it ruminate and ruminate. You know, as a farm boy growing up, the cows would chew their cud. And you go out and look at the sheep in the paddock, and they're chewing their cud. And you think, what are they chewing on, bubble gum? No, that's the way God made them, that they would burp up their food, and they chew it some more, and it goes down a second time. And they do this repeatedly to chew their food, and that's the way they eat. And that's what God says he wants us to do with the scriptures. We need to meditate on it, chew on it, and chew on it, and bring it back up again, and chew on it some more, and bring it back up again, and chew on it some more, and think about it until you've got it down good. And it's because it needs to come part of us. And so, very important that we meditate on the scripture. And it's great to memorize, to meditate. What do I mean by that? You'll have a hard time meditating on something you haven't memorized. It's just the way it is. I mean, if you can't remember what it was, how can you meditate on it? So you got to have it in your head in order for you to meditate on it in your heart. So we memorize the scriptures, and then when we're laying in bed at night, we can think upon them and chew on them and meditate on them. We're going on our walks. We can bring them back up and think about them and meditate on them and let them go over and over in our hearts. That's what will strengthen us. That's what will keep us from sin. And so we need to keep the Word of God in our hearts. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. But we hide it in our heart through our meditation, not just putting it in our head. So there's got to be both. And then finally, we must yield our spirit to the Holy Spirit in order for us to have victory. Back to my little chart here. The Spirit of God says to us, don't do that. That's not right. And then our spirit has to decide, am I going to listen to the Holy Spirit? Or am I going to listen to the devil in my flesh that's saying, oh, go ahead, it's okay, no, it won't hurt anything. And the spirit, our spirit is what makes that choice. And then our spirit guides our soul, our mind, body, our mind and will and our emotions, and makes that choice that governs our body. And we say, I just don't know what happened. I was doing okay, and then all of a sudden, I fell on my face. It's because our spirit has listened to the wrong thing and led us in the wrong direction. And we need to guide our spirit. And that's why Solomon said here, he said, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. We've got to have a rule of our spirit. Our spirit, we've got to tell our spirit, you're going to listen to the Holy Spirit. We're going to listen to God. We're going to do what God wants. We're going to stop listening to the devil. And you read there in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, he talks about the same kind of things. You read it in Galatians chapter 5. He says, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it's yielding to the Spirit. It's obeying the Spirit of God that is allowing us to do what is right. But we've got to be led by the Spirit if we're going to do what is right. And as we yield our spirit to the Holy Spirit, this enables him to produce his fruit of temperance in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Temperance is self-control. And that's what we need. That's what this is all about. That's what Proverbs 25:28 is all about. It's temperance, self-control, ruling our spirit. And he said there that if we yield our spirit to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God then will be able to produce that fruit of temperance in our life. That's what we need. We need that self-control over all the vices that we struggle with. And it's not just about our desires. We're going to be looking in weeks to come at our tongue and our temper and the things that we face in so many different ways. There's lots of different vices that we struggle with. But we need to yield to the Spirit of God. So tonight, as we wrap this all up, We need to ask ourselves if there's a lustful desire in our life that displeases God. Nobody knows that better than you do. You're the one that can see yourself and your own heart and your own thoughts better than anybody else. And if you know deep down inside that, yes, there's some things that you know you struggle with. Or it may not be an addiction. Maybe just something that you do more often than you ought to do. Maybe something you just know that that's not a good thing to do. But whatever it is, you find yourself doing it. And in those situations, what are we going to do? Well, God says we need to agree with Him. And say that in your mind again. If God's against it, so am I. If God's against it, so am I. And we need to drill that into our minds. If God's against it, so am I. And we need to be against what God's against so that we can get victory. And we can have victory over our thoughts and victory over our hearts and victory over our lusts and our desires and those things that we ought not to yield to. So as we yield our spirit to the Holy Spirit, He will enable our spirit to rule our soul, and the soul will guide our body to do the right things, and we will respond in the right way. We can have victory. That is a wonderful thing that God said, we can have victory. And whatever the situation in your life is tonight that you are struggling with, you can have victory. God gives us that through the Spirit of God. But we've got to rely upon Him. We can't do it ourselves. We'll fall on our face on ourselves. But with God's help, we can. We can. We can have victory. We need to leave it to Him to help us.